What's up, After Bezos? We are back here, episode 6 of Cults and Extreme Beliefs. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down the backgrounds, the different rules, the strict rules, might I say, and so much more. Stay tuned.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, AfterBuzzers? Thank you again so much for tuning in. We're here, another episode. We made it through. I thought I broke down many times during this, but it's okay.
It was a very emotional episode.
Very emotional. We're here to break it all down. I'm your host, Juliet V. Bear. I'm here with Al. How you doing,
Hey, everybody. Al G. What up? Good to be back with Juliet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's, you know what? I always look forward to this. I do and I don't, but I do. These conversations are important. That's why we're so excited you guys are here with us. To be breaking this all down, we're going to be talking about just the different rules that this cult had to obey by, the damage it's done to a lot of the survivors and people still in the cult, and different family ties, and just also a crazy confrontation between the producers and cult members.
That was gnarly at the end. So unexpected.
So unexpected. So cannot wait to break this all down with you guys. But first, Al, tell me about your just overall thoughts of this episode. We're episode 6 now. What are we thinking?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it gets better and better. Just more complex. The one I'm always noticing, what do these cults all have in common? And they all, one of the things they have is just like this rich sense of community. You know, most of the time you get to go live among these people 24/7. That's one of the things you always hear the members or former members saying that was appealing. And I'm finding out the second thing, the second element, which is I'm finding consistent, is this lack of love, where they're all geared around just like strict obedience. And one of the things they talked about, they equated, because it's all based on Christianity, the Bible, a literal, super literal interpretation of the Bible and the Old Testament. But they're all basing, they say, belief is based on obedience, as opposed to what I was taught when I went to Sunday school. You know, your belief is based on your love. And we can get into all that later.
It is. And they actually said that in the episode, that it was just such a weird duality, because you are preaching this message of love and this idea and philosophy that we're creating a generation that's the best of the best. Mm-hmm. Yet there's so much hate there. There's corporal violence, extreme violence, as we'll come to discuss. Yeah, this episode honestly was, I think, one of the strongest ones for me. I really enjoyed the pilot. And then this one was just, yeah, really up there. So diverse. And just every time we cut to commercial, I all know we're looking at each other and just taking a deep breath, taking it all in. Because it just, you think it got to its worst, and then it was just like up from there. So, or down from there.
I noticed something that stuck out to me. You're asking what stuck out to me. As soon as we were watching, I was just like, those faces, I don't see any diversity in the faces. I was like, wait, everybody's in there all white. I don't see any black people. I don't see any people of color. I wonder if they're going to be, then it all came out. They're racist, they're homophobic, and all that. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, that's the thing. So they really applied an interpretation of the Bible that's completely just extreme, and I can't even find the words to describe this. Yeah. And along the things that they were preaching is homosexuality was a sin, and they had very, very racist views. Martin Luther King was just a source of evil.
Yeah.
And think of all this craziness that they're just putting inside people's brains. Yeah. That it's just so far apart.
Can I jump in that? And that's not like a foreign notion to certain fundamentalist churches. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to paint them all with the broad brush, but this is something used to hear of, like in the 60s. I'm trying to think that arch, like right wing think tank. It'll come to me in a second. But basically, one of their doctrines was that people who were engaged in civil rights, like Martin Luther King, they were communist and they were evil, and that really they were better off as slaves and getting enslaved and coming to America, because that took them out of the savagery and the pagan worship of Africa. That's honestly what they believe. And actually, one of the recent presidential candidates, Ben Carson, he actually said something that's very similar to that. And you'll hear every now and then, you'll hear some of that dog whistle come through. But he said something to the effect of like, okay, even as slaves, these people were coming, blacks were thinking hopefully in their chains, wanting to come here. And I was like, yo, man, it's like, if you're enslaved, nobody wants to come here willingly. Nobody's dreaming about what you have, what's quote, better for them on the other side. But it's that whole roundabout logic, like, well, you know, this is all. God did this for you, and you're better off for this. Yeah, it's deep, man. It's deep. But it's something I hear all the time. It still comes up in politics, believe it or not, especially in the South.
Yeah. Well, this cult derived from the South. It was in Tennessee in 1972. So they've been around for some time now. And they really had some strict rules. I just want to disclose a few. They weren't allowed to show skin underneath the collarbone. So basically just your neck and your face is all you can show, which I'm sure must not be pleasant in the summer, if we're keeping it honest. I mean, and more importantly, I just want to speak on this. Child abuse. From what we learned, is it safe to say this was child abuse?
I would definitely say it's safe to say that, you know, we saw what appeared to be child abuse based on what we saw. And it's funny because it starts the way the Elizabeth Vargas, I like her reporting style and the way, you know, journalists play it. They approached it, you know, you start on the outside and you're like, okay, and you hear like, you know, these beliefs that they, you know, that they adhere to, and, you know, being literal about the Bible, and, you know, a woman's hair has to be braided this way, and, you know, you can only see so much here, the skin and the hair and the pant leg must be done. Those little things, I think, like in Leviticus, is full of like tons of like legalistic rules and laws, like the way you're supposed to wear your hair, the way
just
you're supposed to dress,
very modest, no
cook,
shaving,
all that stuff. But they I like how they took you from that exterior legalism, like right down to the center of it. Because when you get down to like enforcing these rules, what it really is it's about control.
It really
I didn't see any God or any faith in it. I'm sure some people didn't. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I didn't feel any of it.
Right, exactly. I mean, this form of control was so strong, especially with this notion of kind of separating parents from their children. Everyone became a parent, and any adult is allowed to discipline a child without their permission. And this means physical violence. They even had some training books that we saw out in the show. They had just videos that surface of them just spanking children as young as 6 months old. They would be hurting children if during a ceremony, service, they were crying.
They were literally expecting
babies,
like a child, like, you're not supposed to cry. What, a kid cries, an infant cries.
It does. And a lot of churches also have like a crying room.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Have
it's
you
true.
Seen
yeah,
that
yeah,
in
yeah,
church?
Yeah.
Like,
when you take them out, them outside.
For people who don't know this yet, you have like the church service, and then maybe behind like a glass where you can see the service, or you're nearby. And because that's just humanity. People have kids, people have families, and babies cry.
Yeah.
So that was really tough. And then just kept on going and kept on going. we get to find out that there's some of these videos, and that's how this is surfacing, is that there's all this abuse happening. Mm-hmm. And what I thought it was interesting is they talked about these trials that were emerging. First off, people in Germany, it is illegal to be punishing physical abuse.
Corporal punishment is illegal for kids. Yeah,
exactly. It's illegal for kids.
And then they had to move to the Czech Republic. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. So they had to move away. So that was just such an extreme, just picking up their bags and just going to another place. Goes to show that there's not much that can really stop them, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about these people, is like they move like almost in a hive mind. You know, if they have to move, if they have to adjust, they'll get up, pack it up, and move. And, you know, if somebody's in their way, like a hive mind, they'll say, don't talk to this person, like a laser, and everyone will be of one accord. And to them, that's a godly thing. And here's the thing about like a lot of these precepts. If you look at, I'm not a religious person, but for me, you know, the Bible contains wonderful spiritual truths, you know, things everybody can draw from. So a lot of these things are like wonderful things that have been twisted, you know what I mean? As far as like the idea of like being of one accord, what that means to me is like being of, of a godly frame of mind or in the spirit, whatever that means to you, of that feeling of godliness. But to them, it's just all about like, It's this strict, rigorous, like uniform thing of you act this way. And if anybody says, regardless to the validity, you know, if anybody says or like wants to say that you are disobeying, that person is immediately believed. Basically, they want to believe the worst in people. They want to believe that somebody is in transgression. And there seems to be more of a spirit of more of like criticalness, like a spirit more of wanting to criticize and to correct and punish versus wanting to love and edify and build up.
Yeah, 100%. And it's throughout the episode, we come to find more and more about Semi Brousseau. And this, I feel like this notion of wanting to be part of something bigger, this deep wanting of faith, is something that's kind of just kept her going and actually is the reason her family got in this kind of mess, because they had an issue with their original church and they were seeking faith and found...
I remember they touched on it in the beginning. Can you refresh my memory about that, though? Or do you remember?
About what?
About, I guess, Sammy's family, their original struggle with faith and why they were changing churches, and that's why they were looking for a new church.
Yeah, so exactly. We don't really know the details of that, but they were in a church and they were just had some delusions from the church, and they wanted to seek out something different, something bigger. And 12 Slave was really appealing because one of their leader was very charismatic. As we learned from the show. And it just was really appealing. Everyone was living together, and there's this huge sense of community. Yet there's all this underlining violence, as we've been touching upon. There's all this underlining, just honestly, crimes, physical abuse. I mean, children abuse is a crime.
And the scary thing
is evil.
And you were talking about Eugene Springs, this founding father. The scary thing about when people feel like they are intrinsically doing the right thing or intrinsically doing the godly thing, that supersedes the law. Even to the point where you would hear them talk about, and I've heard this about other religions. I don't want to get too deep in the mud, but certain religions justify lying in order for the greater good and the preservation of that religion's philosophy, or a means to get that end. It's all like in God's will. And to me, that's when things just personally just immediately go wrong. I don't even like, even on politics, man, I can have like the biggest debates, but my side, your side, their side. But when people are disingenuous and start lying, just want to go back and like disingenuously, I guess, like not rewrite history, retcon stuff, as we say in movies, and basically like fudge their own laws
to make exactly. it believe. Fudge it just, their it own laws. That makes me. Exactly, and that's what they said in the show. They were talking about that a lie is acceptable if it's in the context of God. That's why you are allowed to lie to the authorities. You're allowed to lie to basically any outsider because they're viewed as the enemy. And again, this idea of control, this idea of we are the one force, the one to be trusted. They cannot go see other doctors outside the community. They have to be within this umbrella of the 12 slaves.
And people ask you, when they ask you about the 12 tribes, just ask yourself, why would they need to lie? What does not stand up to scrutiny? If somebody has to lie, what's the point of it? Why can't they tell me the truth? If we're all adults and we're free thinking people and you have parents and other people to bounce these things off, everything should be able to stand the test of truth and being able to look at something with a sober eye and
transparency.
Yeah, and transparency.
Exactly, and there isn't any of that, and it's a twisting the truth for it to appeal to them. It's just there's a real distance between and gap between what's being preached and then the actions and what's actually going on. And again, where the whole notion is that they want to create a pure race of some sort. That way the kingdom of God is going to come down and that's the ultimate pursuit of this religion, cult or whatever you want to call it. We can argue that the sentiment is something of positivity within their own twisted minds. Uh-huh. Yet again, there's this underlining that you have these children that are supposed to be the next generation, the generation of hope, who have to be perfect. That feel worthless. We hear Sammy read a letter that she wrote to herself when she was 17.
That was so heartbreaking.
Yeah, how did that make you feel?
Oh my goodness, she had so much. So Sammy, like the main person who escaped, and she's the subject, the focal point of this investigation is her POV and about going back trying to save people and communicate, with her sister, the one family member who she can actually communicate with. But it was just so heart-wrenching how when she was reading her diary, just the fact, the self-awareness she had at the time, she was like, I know this is wrong. I'm telling the truth. These people are lying on me, yet they're telling me I'm wrong. And she was like, I feel like garbage. I feel like crap. And I should just go where the garbage and the crap is. And it's like, oh, man, my mind, because I don't know. I mean, anybody, I think all human beings have dealt with self-esteem issues.
Especially a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, especially.
I mean, everybody does, but especially that age.
You can relate to it, you know, just based on your own experiences. Mm-hmm. But imagine that. And the girl's in this cult and like not just like her friends, but like her family and the hierarchy.
Exactly.
You know?
It's being reinforced in you every day. And again, it's like a time when your body's changing. You're experiencing a lot of things for the first time. So you just, your emotions are so high and you just comparing yourself, to, not even comparing yourself, thinking yourself of trash and just, it was just so heartbreaking to hear.
This is what I was going to get back to, not to cut you off, but I just feel like the whole thing is fear-based as opposed to, and fear is not the best motivator when you want constructive change. Fear is like you react to it with like fight or flight. You know, that's something you react to, you know, when you're dealing with like presented with extenuating circumstances, danger, or even things that are traumatic. But you don't traditionally want to be motivated by things that fear because it solicits an unhealthy reaction. And everything was based on fear. It was punitive. Like you even saw these people wanted, they had the little dunce caps and it was written on the shirt. It said, I am boastful. So I imagine, you know, they would make people wear those things, you know, if you were accused of being boastful or if you were accused of being prideful or if you were accused of being impure or saying something sexual, you know, they would just like write it in chalk on your little, like, you know, on your little cape and your little dunce hat. And you had to like parade around that and like wear that. And they literally, you know, you'd be, imagine how stigmatizing that is for not just for an adult, but for a child.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. And it's kind of, I hadn't heard from this whole, at least from this whole series, someone of such a young age. She was 7 years old when she knew that she wanted out. So she, for 10 plus years, was living with this religion, knowing that when I grow up, I'm leaving. And she's carried that, you know, desire to get out for such a long time.
To me, that's God. Like, that's amazing,
you know? That's what she was saying, yeah. That's what she was saying. She was so when this little boy accused her of doing this, and all the adults, she was trapped in this room for 7 days, one meal a day, and they were telling her, you know, just tell the truth, that God spoke to me. They know that you're lying, little girl. She was like, no, and that showed that, which makes me so happy too, that there is still faith. Mm-hmm. That faith is kind of something that's within you, mm-hmm. If you choose to enlighten that or not, mm-hmm. and. Anything else that's kind of just taught to you.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was just something so precious that no matter what is said or what institution you put, that she was so entwined with herself and her mm-hmm. beliefs that she knew in her core of core that, no, my God wouldn't do this.
And what was so troubling about these accusations someone could level against you is like, you didn't have any recourse. I didn't see anything. Well, like, okay, well, there was a crew of elders you could go to and have some type of like, you know, formal
like
back and forth
or
judgment
something.
Trial. Anything, any exchange. And what was so scary about like the kid who said, I saw you mess with your dad's instrument. What was it, a guitar or something? Yeah. It's like, I used to be a teacher. Kids lie on each other all the time.
Snitches get stitches.
Snitches get stitches, yeah. But kids, just to get the other kid in trouble, just to be mischievous, and like one of the things you have to learn as adults is like you have to like vet every accusation. You have to treat them carefully, but you can't automatically assume.
Then also that kid must be terrified too if he knows that's like maybe he did it and he's just too afraid. Like,
there you go.
In a community of fear where there's mm-hmm. high violence. Again, babies as young as 6 months mm-hmm. old, and it's okay. And on top of it being okay, they're telling parents in those manuals that not only is it okay, you should do it, and if you don't do it, you are in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the complete like 360 of manipulating every single person.
I think you really hit like a really important point as far as like the vicious cycle of like where really like almost like lying is encouraged to a certain extent for like to avoid the shame, and instead of you feeling it, you'd rather like push it off on somebody else. And that's what it is. I'm going to make you feel this pain so I don't have to feel the pain.
Yeah. That was so tough. And then something that really stuck up to me is when Sammy talks about just her attempt to leave and then finally her being able to leave. That's just, I remember us watching the show, and I'm sure you guys at home were feeling, I don't think I've ever heard a story like this, how troublesome and how she was 18 and she just... She even said she was like October 2005, and she was just ready to bolt. She had been planning this for such a long time. She knew
since she was a little girl.
Yeah, since 7 years old, she called a distant cousin, made a plan, and kissed her little sister on the forehead. And she said, "This is for you."
This is like not knowing. I mean, how much can she remember about the? She might be remembering some vaguely about like the outside world, but she hasn't seen the outside world in years. So, how could she know what things are like? Where she could be going? Could she be going into? See, that's another thing. When people want to escape of abusive situations, and cults, or even when they look at slavery, or even at jail. Half the problem is like, you don't know what you're getting into, or maybe worse, outside, leaving where you're at.
Exactly, and we'll get into that later, just this idea of reforming a life once you kind of, most of your life has been taken away and controlled. We'll get to that in a minute, but I thought it was just so powerful and so sad when she is able to leave, and so she thought, which lasted 3 days, and then her sister convinced her to come back to have dinner. And then it's kind of a trap. She gets stuck with all her family members. Her father grabs her for 2 whole months, and they're locked up, and they argue and talk every day.
Yeah, it's like this reprogramming center or something, right? That's what it felt like.
100% reprogramming center.
Yeah.
It was her last, we're bringing you back. And they kept on saying, you're going to get your sanity back. You've lost your sanity. The fact that you want to leave us, we're going to get that back into your brain.
That's why gaslighting is so dangerous, when people try to make the other person feel crazy.
It's exactly. Like, that's what it was, just this mind control in every single aspect of your life. But what I didn't, the highlight that I enjoyed at least was that it was the first time in her life she could really express how she was feeling, what her beliefs were, how over the plus 10 years she truly felt.
Thank God she never lost that spirit. That's what we're both talking about. Like, to me, like, that's God, whatever you want to call it. It's like she maintained like that spirit in her, in spite of all this and in spite of the pushback and everything around her is saying no, and in spite of all the punishments and the facing corporal punishment and the shunning and the shaming, that psychological shaming is hardcore.
It really is, and this idea of faith, like no matter what you believe in, which she kept on saying and multiple times throughout the episode, which really touched my heart, is that she was saying life is amazing, life is amazing, life is amazing. And that's it. That was her hope. Like, call it God, call it whatever you like. The fact that she just knows that life is beautiful and it is not this evil that she's been living
like
with for so long.
Like, this isn't it. Your reality isn't, this is how it's supposed to be.
It really is. And just that was a highlight for me. And I just, leaving this episode, I just want to, the rest of my week and the rest, just remember, just try to live with gratitude. And life is amazing. And we have a lot of blessings that we don't sometimes take for granted. And yeah, you guys in the comment section, like, please leave us a comment. Tell us your thoughts on this episode and why life is amazing. Like, let's put us positive on this. Why was this episode amazing? Why maybe our lovely hosts are amazing while you're at it?
Our lovely team is amazing.
We love keeping the conversation going both on iTunes and YouTube. So go to both places because we check both of those. And while you're there, leave us a thumbs up, subscribe, and also subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are on the reality TV channel, and AfterBuzz offers so much free content out there. And I'm telling you, subscribe to the channel and just fall down the rabbit hole, because if you like reality TV or even just docuseries, because if by the sole fact of subscribing, you'll have content coming directly to you and things that you already like. We have amazing shows. And if you want something a little bit lighter, we have like Botched, which I really enjoy. We have also a lot of competition shows. There's so much content on there, so make sure to check that out. Subscribe, and don't worry about the notifications. Those are you don't have to have them if you don't want them, and we will give you a shout out if you do that. So thank you so much, guys.
Should I read this live?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
So with that being said, with this idea of life is amazing, she finally is able to live this amazing life she's been seeking, because after those 2 horrible months, she leaves and she moves away and starts her life. And I thought this was a sweet moment when the main journalist, what's her name?
Elizabeth Vargas.
Elizabeth Vargas was asking her. She was like, so now that you kind of been separated with from a lot of things that people would quote-unquote normal, just like everyday life stuff, what was a big change for you? And she was saying lipstick. She could.
Oh, man, the little things.
The little things. And she, in that moment, she made me think of a little young girl who's like, this fact that I just could put this stuff on my lips and then it was colorful and then it made me feel beautiful. I was just, that's something you hear from a little child. She just experiencing, that's like something that's pretty cool too, right? It's experiencing a lot of things for the first time.
As opposed to something that would have been like, that's a sin if she tried that.
100%. Oh, you cannot show anything underneath the collar. Like, makeup is a big no-no. And she gets to like learn a lot of stuff. Something that I thought was so cool too is that they showed a picture picture that she went to UMass. So she ended up going to college.
That's right, that's right.
And pursuing an education. And UMass is a huge university for those who don't know. And just being integrated in this whole new world. And I think it's so cool that although she has been living such a crazy under such a crazy educational system, like religious sect, that she kind of just like she went all for it and like lived her life.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's definitely and like she did what it seemed like the most successful people do who are able to like get out of cults and then kind of like rejoin society and I guess and have like a traditionally close to traditional healthy life as much as possible is they go back and help other people. But like when you talked about, you know, like, you know, how she went to university. How ironic is that they use these universities and these cafes in their universities as like their, you know, they're like their little like flirty fishing areas where they go and recruit exactly. people. And I guess college kids are, you know, we're talking about this. If you're young, you know, forget college, 17, 16. It's like if maybe you're lonely, you know what I mean?
And somebody's
impressionable, somebody's talking to you. And that's why people go to cafes. This is why I go to cafe. I'll go to cafe because I need to get some work done. But I also like it because there's people around me and there's activity. And maybe I'll end up having a conversation. And like and that's where they go, like to basically like, you know, they get these weak links and people, you know, who are struggling and trying to like, you know, indoctrinate them and ship them off to the cult.
Exactly, and they portray themselves as such an appealing community, very sweet, very nice, and we see a little bit more of this when Sammy and the producers go and actually visit one of those delis. And
Yellow Deli,
and mm-hmm. she runs into a former member, which we only saw the audio for that because they couldn't film inside. I just thought that was so chilling.
Yeah. And she's like, totally remember. She was like, I forget. She was like, is your name?
I used to live with you, right?
Yeah. And then she was like, oh my God, like that's you. One of the things I was curious to find out is like, I'm assuming, and tell me what you thought. I'm assuming that person who she connected with told the leader, Ed Weissman, mm-hmm. and his wife, Jeannie Swantko. Or the fact that maybe they saw the cameras in there. Like, right. how do you think they were discovered?
That's something we kind of talked about in the episode. Is that we don't really know. It kind of simply yes could have been her hearing the name, being mm-hmm. like, oh, and making the connection. Like, wait, this person left. Yeah. Therefore, she is to be not yeah. only do we
let me call dead, the authority or
right,
whatever.
Yeah, and now she must cause trouble if she's back here.
Right.
But again, as I'm. This crew does take a lot of measures to be just secret and trying yeah. to, especially when you're filming a documentary, and a document yeah. that is high risk like this.
Right.
You camouflage yourself in. However, you know, a truck full of gear is not something you can really hide.
Right,
producers
right.
with earpieces are not something you can hide. Cameras, right. as best as you try, you can't yeah. fully hide everything.
Right.
And although they were not in the restaurant, uh-huh. all of those trucks and everything is parked uh-huh. outside.
Which makes me tend to believe more so that they were discovered because of, you know, of like the gear and the production aspect yeah. of it. Because Sammy said, or she seemed to think that the word hadn't gotten all the way up the chain yet, or they would have like told her sister not to meet with her. So maybe this person who she bumped into and had this, you know, casual exchange with, I remember you remember me or whatever, maybe that didn't get all the way up the chain of command. Who knows how far it got, but it apparently didn't get to the point where somebody where they wanted to cut her off from seeing her sister, which would have been like the next move, you assume.
Right, and that's something that's really she was fearful of, because she already has such limited conversation and communication with a lot, barely any communication with any family members, mm. and her sister is something that she holds really dear to her heart, because that's the one family member that's really been keeping a little bit of ties open. Uh-huh. But before we dive too deep into that, let's just talk about how I was just, my jaw dropped when we see he's a number two leader, as you were saying, Ed Weissman. With the producer who he asked, like, what are you doing? What questions do you want? I have to, like, say that was some good producing there. I have yeah. to say that guy was, you know, he was like, you know what? He runs into him and he was like, well, you know what? We would love to interview you. The guy's like, no, I don't want to be interviewed. He goes, well, what about?
And then he hits him right with the next question. Bam, question, bam, question. Bam, bam. Not even like, not like going for like the, you know, the obfuscation, you know,
like, oh, guy trying to,
yeah, yeah, you know, oh, we, just like you said, like, oh, well, we obey laws. There's no child abuse. But what about the cases of the bruises? And he was right on point. But what about this case? And what about that? And, you know, maybe we could talk about this a little bit more. And you could see he was successfully able to suck them into a conversation. Really? At least for a good, like, over 5 minutes, almost 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was a good, well, at least they got those sound bites that they needed. And yeah. it was also interesting to see how So was his wife and him were kind of disputing on the answers, too. She could tell, like, she got after that ride home. She was like, damn, why'd you have to open your mouth? And, like, I can so see, like, an old couple just bickering, just like regular people.
You know what it was? You know what it was? I think he had made a very general answer about, like, you know, we don't engage in abuse.
Right, because so that's what you're right. So they asked, do you engage in abuse beyond at the point of bruising? Yeah. And then he responded reasonably so.
Yeah, and she was like, no. No, we don't engage to the point of bruising. Shut she up. Made it a point to God. That was
he was like reasonable and so so chilling again. Like this
episode. Yeah, how crazy is that though? You see, like, basically, like, the number two or one of the leaders, you know, like the night they show up. Yeah. But I guess, you know, maybe it's like, you know, it's a small knit community. You know, they probably make their rounds, you know, to the local cafe.
It really is, and so this confrontation really made Sammy nervous, because that means that they're going to find out who she is, her family ties, and they're going to reinforce the idea that she should be shunned. So why is she here? She's causing trouble. She's part of your family. Like, how are you involved? And she makes plans to go see her sister, which she barely sees. Mm-hmm. And it was so saddening. She was saying that this might be the last time that she sees her. That's a high possibility. But you know what? Like, I feel like I'd learned so much from Sammy, because although that's, like, such a painful thing to hear, what she followed by saying, you know what, but at least I get to. At least I get to see my sister.
Yeah.
Such a ray of positivity.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, like, that's, you know, that's one of the things you have to take away from it. From, like, her older sister, Shalem, was the one person she felt like she could still communicate with. And, like, God bless older sister Shalem. I mean, she could have been one of those people totally cut her off. But she, all these years, would still agree to, like, to talk with her and meet her. And even though she did, you know, kind of trick her, which really bothered me. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to meet, and then I'm actually going to, after you ran away from the cult, after Sammy runs away, she's like, okay, we're going to meet, and then she's actually taking her back to see her family. But, I mean, it's like, I guess any young person, you know, if you're still a child and you're living at home with your family, a young person, you know, that's what your parents are going to tell you to do, and they're going to tell you, like, that's the right thing to do.
And then also keep in mind that she, as most, believe that they're really truly helping, because they think that you're the fact that you're leaving, you've breached your insanity, you're trying to live this life of evil, and they truly love you as family members, and they want to protect you. And they're what they've been taught is their notion of protecting is making sure you're part of the community and that you're not straying. Mm-hmm. That's their version of love, and it's just completely brainwashed and twisted. But this meeting lasts about 2 hours, and they come back into the car. The cameras weren't able to be there, which I would have loved to see, but at the same time, I enjoy the fact that it just shows a little bit more. It's not – a lot of these conversations are just not meant for the camera. You need to have some kind of – be a little bit further behind with certain things, because these people are being so – I mean
– nice, because, man, we can imagine what they were talking about then. So, like, when you point out that aspect too, I was kind of, like, missing. I wanted to know what happened more with their conversation. But good point, though. They deserve a right to some privacy.
Exactly. And they're being so brave, just opening up all these – just all these scandals and just letting the world know what is truly going on. And that's why this show is really so important. And, like, after shows like this and conversations like this are really important, just to understand what is going on out in this world and what we can do to help, and how to understand what are these just these trails that keep happening, so we know to identify them and just stop them.
Can I give Sister Shalem I don't want to give her, say, props, but let's just say evolving to the notion that, look, this is what we choose to do. And if you choose to do that, you go and do that. At least you seem to be resigned to this point. Like, okay, we can't stop you. If you want to do this, we're not going to, like, force you. You know what I mean? Which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's kind of like the most, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's the most evolved I've felt, the sentiment I heard come from them. Like, they were accepting that you leave. And where do we think this? And you think this?
Yeah,
and this
that she was really happy about that. That there's some ounce of free will, in the sense where I'm going to form my own opinion despite what everyone's been telling me. And Sammy's ongoing fight is to try to get just a second life and hope for her family members. She prays that one day, you know, although they hate her now, that they will call her and tell her they need her help and want to leave. And this notion actually even pushed her to create a nonprofit to help people. She's helped up to 18 people who leave not only this cult but other cults, and who are just in need of basic needs, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something you've thought about? Like, imagine leaving and not having the basic tools to go about your life.
Oh my goodness, man. I mean, like, you know, okay, I'm just trying to imagine what your day-to-day life is in there. It's like, maybe you have a toothbrush, a washcloth, but, like, all the things, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, what are the intricate things we take for granted, you know what I mean, just as far as, like, maintaining yourself, you know, okay, like the shaving thing, okay?
Shaving, like, yeah, driving, even getting paperwork.
She didn't know what, like, razor bumps were, the razor burns, because, like, nobody ever told her that.
So right, and they also don't have a lot of just legal documents that you kind of need, and that's something we brushed upon when they had the trials. One of the reasons the trials weren't able to come through is because that they didn't have – it's hard to track people. It's hard to get all these documents because they don't really have a real name. They have – they're all named by one name and no legal documents and all this is just something. It's just – it's starting from scratch. It's crazy. And it's so nice that she she's able to just offer people a second life. And I really have to praise Sammy, and I have to say thank you for to A&E. Thank you to her to just be sharing these life lessons, because – even if you haven't been affected by a cold, I think we can learn a lot from her. Yeah. Is there any last thought you want
to
give us?
Yeah, I'd like to throw out this little anecdote. We're kind of like unpacking Sammy's conversation with her sister, Shalem. And at least Shalem's being able to agree to disagree and like, okay, you're going to live your life. I'm going to live my life. But the curveball she threw in there was just like, well, if your life's messed up now, don't blame us. If you've spent 20 years in a cult, and those were formative years, obviously I don't see it as trauma, but it's like cognitive dissonance, the fact that like how you can't blame somebody for what their life is like now. And it's not even blaming. It's like your first 20 years of your life are those are what's going to inform the next part of your life. So the fact that like all this, everything they went through could have nothing to do with, you know, whatever trials and tribulations or scarring they went through, to me it was just, oh man, that was kind of scary. That kind of scared, that kind of like deafness. Yeah. And like I said, I call that, not I call that, but it just, that idea of somebody who could just like, who could just ignore reality to that sense.
It's like, I know.
Like this is, well, whatever you go through, you know, that's your fault. We didn't mess you up. What you did in here has nothing to do with how bad your life is. That's all your fault.
Exactly. And just, I mean, again, this episode was just really, really powerful. Let's head into some really, really quick news. And then we'll talk super briefly about what is going on next week. And then we have to wrap up because we're running out of time. So what do you got for us?
Hey, everybody. So I came up with this article that was in the New York Post recently. It was like a week ago, updated on like the 12 tribes, and apparently they're still going through these accusations in the court about violating child labor laws. They're still going through this, and we talked about earlier about, you know, how the abuse with the children, they take them over into the room, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, it's not only that. It's like they force these kids to work in these warehouses. They force them to work in these fields. They have this farm called the Common Sense Farm, and they actually like sell these items and these products like on Amazon and eBay, and these are common textiles or things that you might find, from lotion to potatoes. And you got to be careful, like you got to research like where these things are coming from, because they sell them in mass, and these kids are working like hours, like way beyond the legal limits, all the way down to 9 years old.
Wow.
And luckily they even was able to sneak a camera into one of these places up in upstate New York, and that's how they were able to get them. And that kind of like set off this like wider spreading probe where they're going into 12 other tribe communities based on what they saw, you know, going on illegally in upstate New York.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Crazy. Oh, thank you for that little update. Next week, we're going to be talking about Warren Jeffs, is that correct?
Warren Jeffs, exactly.
Warren Jeffs, if I'm saying, okay. And the FLDS. So yeah, lots to just discuss there. I cannot wait to just get more into depth and just learn a little bit more about these cults and extreme beliefs. They do take a toll, but again, these conversations are so important. We cannot stress that enough. So thank you so much for tuning in and sticking with us. Please, again, keep the conversation going on both iTunes and YouTube. We will see you next week. My name is Juliet. If you want to, please follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet. And Al, where can they find you?
Hey everybody, I'm Al G. You'll see my Twitter below, but I'm running this new GoFundMe campaign. I'd like you all to follow me on support. So if you go to GoFundMe and you put in the search engine Jamaica House European Tour, that's how you can follow me, and that's how you can support what we got going on, this film tour we got going on. Thanks.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, guys, until next week, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.